There was a lane behind the barn that the cows used to get to and from the fields. They were all that remained of the virgin forest behemoths. I built forts with my cousin Linda and Judy out of the rotting, moss-covered pine stumps that were all over their dad's farm. I used the twisted wood to make golf clubs and hit rocks as golf balls. I even had an old gunny sack I used as a golf bag. When I was a young adult, I walked the same lane to go deer hunting in the backwoods behind the barn. These trees had not been cut down for farmland because of the steeper hills and ravines that the deer used for cover. There was a spring-fed stream that ran at the bottom. We used to have picnics there. I remember in the springtime hunting for mushrooms around the poplar trees in Uncle Jim's woods. We used to find enough to fill more than one of Meyer's paper shopping bags full of Michigan's finest morel mushrooms. On the first day of deer hunting one year, Uncle Jim took me to a stand of young trees on the south side of his farm. He placed his 2 feet in the fresh snow and said,
"Now you stand right here, Ronnie, and don't move."
He had already made sure I had a sack lunch with me, and in a whisper too, told me,
"If you hear a shot, don't move, just wait. Even at noon when other hunters leave the woods for lunch, don't move."
He smiled and said,
"You'll get him."
He was right. That year I shot a 6-point in the morning and a 7-point about dark standing in his footprints. I told everybody that I got a 13-point on the first day. But when I went over to field dress my first kill, 2 other hunters, who I did not recognize, ran to my deer and started without me. The way they stumbled through the brush, trying to beat me there, told me these guys were drunk. One man had a perfect circle of a rifle scope imprinted into his forehead. Blood was dripping down his face, and both eyes were swelling shut and turning black. It was very obvious that he had taken a shot with his face too close to the gun. The man flipped the deer over, took out his knife, and started gutting the animal. The second man held their guns, semi-pointing one at me as I walked up. I explained to them, that was my shot that killed the deer. And they told me,
"There's 2 of us, and we have guns. What are you gonna do about it?"
Well, there's one thing for sure. I'm not going to have an argument with drunks with guns. So I leaned my rifle down against a tree and tried to cool down the situation. Just then, Uncle Jim arrived on the scene. He was like the cavalry riding in at the last moment. Arriving just in the nick of time to rescue the stagecoach from the outlaws. He said,
"I recognize the sound of your 30-06 going off. Only one shot, and you got him. Good job."
Both of these men recognized Uncle Jim, and they got a more sober attitude as I told him, "These guys are trying to take my deer." Uncle Jim looked at both of them and asked,
"Boys, do we have a problem here?"
They took too long to answer, so Uncle Jim said,
"Ronnie, let's take your deer to the barn."
By the time we got back to the farmhouse, the rest of the family was waiting. They were in the yard because they heard a shot in the direction I was hunting. And they were saying to each other,
"Ronnie got his deer.
Ronnie got his deer.
Yep, he
He got one.
I heard them saying that as we got out of the truck and hung up the deer. Now, there are many times in a young man's life when an event is greater than the person experiencing it, like your first big buck. This would have been a memory for a lifetime, but Uncle Jim stole the glory from the moment by what he told the rest of the family.
Ronnie shot his deer, and two guys tried to take it away from him. By the time I got there, he had already beaten up one guy so bad that he had two black eyes and blood was all over his face, and Ronnie had him down on the ground cleaning out his deer for him.
That was my Uncle Jim. The next year, he and Uncle Charlie built me a small hunting blind right in that exact spot. All the deer antlers I have mounted in my home come from kills standing in Uncle Jim's footprints. As I got older, I spent as much time away from my home as I could. I took extra subjects instead of a study hall, and I joined any sport that would let me play. I was never any good at any ball game. I lived alone in the woods with my parents. The closest kid I could play with was over a mile away. Sometimes I would ride my bike to his house, and he always wanted to play baseball. When I came home, I would try to play the game by myself. I placed sticks around the yard in a diamond shape, and I was the pitcher, batter runner, outfielder, and catcher. To play this game of one-man baseball, I would throw the ball up into the air, the pitcher. Then if I could swing and hit it, I would run the bases, the batter runner. When I got to home plate, I would switch roles, become the outfielder, chase the ball across the yard. With a mighty arm, I would throw the ball at home plate. When there was no catcher, I would switch roles again and chase down the wild pitch. At this point, I could decide if whether I was out or safe at the plate. Some game. I played it a lot.